Good afternoon and welcome to our webinar series. It's difficult times at the moment, and the relationship within our businesses has never been more important. And we felt it would be a good idea to understand the relationship between the finance function and the sales function and how that is changing of late and how we see that may impact our organizations moving forward into the future. There's a series of three webinars. The first one is looking at the relationship between the finance function and the sales function, sales directors and CFOs. The second webinar is going to be looking at the operations of the finance function and some of the changes that are taking place there. And last but by no means least, how we see the future mapping out the, both the finance function and the role of the CFO moving forward. But before we do that, I'd really like to introduce our panelists today in alphabetical order. Starting off with Andy Nellis from Cognition 24. Good afternoon, Andy.
Hi there.
Second, Raymond Holt. Good afternoon, Raymond.
Hi, Andy.
Raymond is the founder at Agmentis Partners and has been a CFO at more organizations than we can shake a stick at. And last but by no means least, Stuart Monk. Stuart is the VP and General Manager for EMEA at Financial Force. Good afternoon, Stuart.
Hi, Andy.
Great, thank you all. So we start off looking at the relationship between the sales and the finance function. And historically, we may have our own perspectives on that, what might be. And we think about where we may have competing and complementary objectives and goals. But if we're thinking about how we can come together for better outcomes of an organization, that's really what we want to get to. And hopefully, we can explore those issues over the next 20 minutes or so. I'd like to start, Raymond, I'd like to start off with you. Great experience of being a CFO. How would you describe, what's your experience of the relationship between finance and sales?
From one extreme to the other, really. It's almost the case of those who actually think in a way that they're actually looking to build a business and are true partners and work closely with finance and with a great deal of transparency, to the other end, which is, have you collected my invoice? Have you paid my salary expenses? And what's my commission that's due? And many in between. But it has been a wide range. And that's also been industry related as well. It's culturally, in some industries, it's far more one extreme than the other.
Yes, I quite understand that. Andy, what about Incognition? Tell us something about your organization. Which end of the extreme do you fit?
I think we're fairly joined up with that. I think there's always the challenge from, you know, as the managing director overseeing both the sales and finance functions, there's always that challenge of, you know, the sales team coming with an opportunity and, you know, the margin around that. And then as we take that into delivery, making sure that margin, you know, is effectively locked down as tightly as we possibly can. But, you know, we have a good view on that, but you know, there's definitely some challenges making sure that we marry the two up.
Yeah, and as you're running the board, you're making sure that you get that cohesion across the piece.
Yeah, absolutely.
Stuart, you have a similar role at Financial Force, and Financial Force is a relatively young company. What's your experience of how it works?
Well, tactically, you know, I rely on finance to be part of our customer experience, right? Policies that meet customer demands and provide efficient invoicing and quality customer experience. And then strategically, of course, we develop operational budgets. And my CFO relies on my data to develop short and long-term forecasts into the business. And being a young company, as you say, I think we don't have a lot of legacy to inherit, which means that hopefully we are agile and responsive to our customer needs.
Cool. Seeing the role of a CFO and how that's different from a sales manager, how do you think they perceive each other? Andy, what's your view on how they see each other and their roles within organizations?
I guess from my perspective, I think as Raymond alluded to earlier, it's probably sometimes, you know, there's a very close join up between the two. Other times, finance, you know, finance are seen as the police of the organisation. So, how does the sales function devise ways to get around the policing that that takes place? So, I think it's I think it does really depend on the organisation and its maturity and its it's openness to work as a whole organisation rather than siloed departments.
Raymond, you're nodding your head there. Do you like being considered as a member of the police?
Yes, but that is unfortunately a role of the finance team, but it's not what the CFO and the finance team's actual value add is in the relationships that we build with sales. I think what Stuart said is absolutely right. I think the more finance and the CFO understands the chain and the customer experience, and that you build, and that they are part of the sales team in that context, I think the less friction there is within the relationship, and more value can be added. And then when there are red flags, because there are red flags in finance, there are times to say no. It's a kind of principled based no, as in this is why it doesn't work. However, the alternative could be to do something different. And I think that's the relationship between the sales director and the finance director and the CFO is very much around enabling to achieve results and if necessary, holding the line. But actually, how do we achieve what you want to achieve rather than can we achieve what you want to achieve?
Yeah. So, I mean, obviously a CFO is ultimately accountable for reporting and governance and all that sort of stuff. But what I'm hearing is that shouldn't be seen as a blocker to cooperation across the various functions.
No, and I think you raised an interesting point around governance. I think when we talk about finance, we talk about a lot about compliance. And yes, how we do things is important and making sure that the systems and everything else and that the rules are followed. But it's far more important about why we're doing what we're trying to achieve. And the more we understand about what the goals and objectives are of the sales and of the business and that we work as a team, I think it's far, far, far easier. And actually when there is friction between the sales director and the finance director, it's almost a positive friction, as in we're trying to get the right result together. We just need to find a way to create that right result.
Yeah. Really interesting. Stuart, with where we are at the moment with all the COVID crisis and everything like that, have you seen that those relationships changing at all?
Well, I think it necessitates that you bring the viewpoint of both together. So, for example, I think the issue of cash flow for organizations right now is top of mind. So in conversations with my CFO, it's really what is the position that we can support go forward decisions in our business, for example, by being more flexible in terms of billing or staging of payments. And so, yeah, a circumstance like this brings you close, or should, if it's functional, bring you closer together to work on resolution together with focus on the customer.
Mm. Yeah, so it's that customer centric perspective that's bringing about this new kind of dynamism. Interesting. So, Andrew, can we ask about some of your experiences working with finance and sales directors? You know, there have been good and bad. Could you share some of your experiences of what bad has looked like and what good should look like?
Yeah, so but in terms of bad, I suppose, again, the siloed mentality. So, and very much from, you know, in terms of how that plays out within the organisation of data being shared and a single source of truth. I think, you know, the bad organisations, they're effectively, you know, keeping their arms around their own part of the organisation and really not engaging in that level of communication that organisation needs in order to move forward and grow together. As one team, really.
Yeah, Raymond, I see you're nodding hair.
Well, I was going to say one of the things Andy talks about is about communication. I think that's one of the, in any relationship at a senior level, it's absolute trust and communication on a consistent basis. So the really best relationships I've seen between sales directors and CFOs has been one where you can have that communication, and when things don't look quite right, or you do have two versions of the truth, you're able to constructively find the single path. The worst kind of relationships, and the personal experience of standing in one of the very early experiences of being a CFO, standing in a meeting room, waiting for budget rent-a-car to walk in, being told, "Don't you screw this up for me, young man." And that was kind of, well, is there no trust here between us? Because you believe that I'm going to say no to what exactly?
Yeah.
And that's the kind of experience which, if you can get past the hurdle of, actually, we are in this together,
yeah,
you can actually kind of create something that might be actually quite worthwhile and work well together.
Yeah, I like that. I like that. Stuart, I mean, Financial Force is a large player in the ERP software space. So, you know, you obviously engage with a lot of customers in the finance sector. What's your experience of some of the CFOs that you're talking with?
Well, I mean, if you're asking where the tension is, we it gets into it where you disagree in the way in which money is spent on there. And, you know, as GM, I get lots of requests, particularly from marketing, to spend money. So what I try and do is to take Raymond's point of view, right, on anything we do, what is going to be the return on investment in terms of the addition to my pipeline and my revenue. So I think if you adopt a little of each other's sensibility within there, that has helped me through my career in terms of aligning the two departments together. And I think when we take that broader to our prospecting customer base, what we do, Financial Force, is we marry together on the platform the view of prospect customer-centric data together with core finance info. So I think that sensibility carries through in terms of our proposition.
Yeah, so that view of a customer, but also a complementary view of the finances associated with that engagement, gives you a complete and holistic view. Okay, so staying with you, Stuart, what sort of challenges do you see that require sales and finance to work more collaboratively together?
Well, let's think about COVID is a prime example, right? And I already touched on, right, in terms of from customers evaluating solutions right now, what they're saying is, can you help me in terms of the investment strategy on there? So we help each other by really coming up with innovation in terms of the way in which our prospects can move forward with their decisions and how we can support our customers through this so that we retain them on there. From a bigger picture, we rely on good data to mitigate risk in terms of some of those decisions. And so, for example, the process we're going through at the moment is we're asking ourselves, how much of my pipeline is slipping because of COVID? And then how can I look at the discretionary spend across the organization to support my own view of cash flow? So it's just about really joining up, you know, my insight into what the short and long-term future is from sales and revenue pipeline as to how we operate effectively, particularly at points where things are out of your control or it feels like things are out of your control. Yeah,
so cooperating well and using data as the source for making those kind of decisions. Right. Andy, are you in the same situation?
Yeah, absolutely. It's kind of, you know, you need, it comes back to, I think, as Stuart just said, to that access to the data and that single source of truth. I think that's the most important thing right now, is that data is really joined up. But, you know, we're confident that what the sales function is seeing versus the finance function and the business as a whole, that everyone believes in that data and therefore is able, you know, to devise the right approach and the right course of action, believing in the data and the numbers that, you know, that we're working with as an organization.
Yeah. Raymond, as a CFO, you know, what do you see as being challenges that need to be addressed in order to bring some greater cohesion around this?
Yeah, echoing something that both Stuart and Andy have said about the data, and I would say from a finance perspective, one of the things is not to be scared when you see that that finances data and sales data are not the same right now, because I think that's that is my experience, is we're going to find a lot of inconsistency across businesses when we start looking at them. Mm. And actually, an analogy I've used before is almost like, it's like Lego bricks. Almost don't be scared to take it apart with your sales partner and put it back together again in a way that you both understand and are both comfortable with. As long as you're both looking at the same set of Lego bricks, you're not going to look at them exactly the same, but be looking at the same Lego bricks. I think one of the other challenges is, as the leader goes, so goes the team. And I think in this environment right now, the relationship between the sales director and the CFO is key. But then that needs to filter down into the sales teams and the finance teams, because the relationships are across the board. And but for me, it's as the leaders go, as the teams go. And I think the opportunity now is to actually almost take a step back, look at how you want it to work, and almost bring it back together through the data and the analytics. And because at the end of the day, that's what we're measured on. Mm-hmm. But bring it back together in a way that's co-built, rather than, well, finance says this and sales says that.
Yeah. Okay. So what I'm hearing is that if we have a joined up view, if we have a data centric view, if you have one that focuses on the customer, on the business that we're all trying to achieve, and having robust data that we can review and we can critique and make our decisions on the back of that, those are the strong foundations. Having a common set of objectives, I suppose. But we have to talk about the role of technology and how that will enable this model being delivered moving forward. Stuart, what are your perspectives on how technology can support this collaboration?
First and foremost, you don't get the chance to be strategic in anything if you're bogged down in manual processes. So the opportunity to automate, to free us up, means that you can participate in the conversation, right? So, you know, it's still in conversations, even at finance director level. You know, people are still reporting something like 60% of their time caught up in process, in manual activities. That's not great, right? Mm. And then if I flip that to the more sophisticated end of the model, we're using machine learning now from a forecast perspective to look at the way in which our sales force and customers are behaving to give better view into forecast predictability. So mm-hmm. Let me give you an example. We're on the platform with Salesforce. I can tell against forecast opportunities in pipe the amount of activity my individual reps have had engaging with that customer, whether paperwork's been sent out, when the last communication with. That gives me a surer view of forecast predictability, which supports my CFO. So those are probably the two ends of the scale. The other thing I would say that technology is really good, particularly machine learning, is in the area of audit and security. And so, you know, in conversations with heads of risks, you know, what is an investigation using manual resources to expose, for example, the occurrence of somebody setting up a dummy employee to pay themselves through. We can catch instances like that. Erroneous over limit or violations of policy. Machines are really good at capturing that. So I think it's two ends of the scale, right? The automation, the way in which we can enhance our reporting capability and predictability as well. All of that. Yeah.
Great. So once you've got your fundamental platform in place, that gives you an opportunity to think more proactively, more strategically around, you know, what pipeline looks like, what forecasts look like, and all that sort of stuff. Raymond, what are your thoughts on how technology can help you as a CFO?
Yeah, one version of the truth is the we're all looking at the same set of data, and that way we can get that to be what we want it to be, right. The transparency, and that's pipeline, and I think Stuart's absolutely right in terms of, especially around forecasting, and getting some transparency around where we are in terms of, as you say, about the audit and everything else. But the forecasting is the bit for me, which is the key. Because when you're walking up to a sales director and he's got an Excel spreadsheet in his hands telling you this is how I've come up with my numbers, it doesn't always provide a great deal of confidence to many CFOs in that respect. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the things moving forwards right now is I don't think any of us really know what the world is really going to be like until we actually start engaging again, really engaging again. Mm-hmm. And what we need is agility, but we also need the constancy of knowing that the platform we've got is able to provide that some consistency for us in terms of data, so that as we are experiencing moving forwards and working together to build the business, there is the agility in us to adapt, but also that for the system to actually provide the data on that with that adaptability. And that enables the sales director and the CFO to actually talk, think, work through strategically what's actually happening and what needs to happen. And then where to put the resources that are, and they will be also scarce.
Surely. So again, you're getting, if you're looking at organizations becoming more agile, becoming more flexible, taking on new revenue streams, new business models and all that stuff, you can't do that if you're just, you know, relying upon spreadsheet as your single version of the truth. We've come to the end of this first webinar. Thank you very much indeed for the three participants, Andy, Raymond and Stuart. To kind of summarize, data's kind of key, but I think only in the context of driving a customer-centric and a business-centric perspective that both the sales and the finance function can share and take that to drive forward. Thank you very much indeed for listening to the webinar. I hope you found it of use. We have developed a joint ebook that's available to download that touches on this subject as well, and I'd suggest that you have a look at that. The next webinar in the series is on the subject of operations and how we can make sure that we have rigor in the way in which the finance function works. Thank you very much indeed for your time.